Belinda presents this unabridged recording of The Imagination Chamber, Cosmic Rays from Lyra's Universe, written and read by Philip Pullman. Mrs. Coulter in the cave, watching Will, speculating. Will watching her, speculating. Their words like chess pieces, placed with great care, each carrying an invisible nimbus of implication and possibility and threat. Each of them afterwards felt as if they had barely escaped with their life. Despite her natural Jordan College patriotism, Lyra had to admit that there was one department where it failed to shine in comparison with Gabriel, or Durham, or Cardinals, and that was gardening. The fellow's garden at Jordan was a darkish rectangle shadowed for most of the day by the buildings around it, and Mr. Harbord, the head gardener, had fixed ideas about what he wanted to flourish there. Flowers of sombre hue and regular habit were approved. Those that climbed and wandered were extirpated without mercy. On the other side of Broad Street, however, Durham College, to Lyra's great admiration, actually had a maze to which tourists were admitted for sixpence. There was a plan for sale in the lodge, but that cost a guinea. Lyra and Roger paid their sixpences to go in several times and made a plan of their own, which they intended to copy and sell in large quantities for only 5 shillings, undercutting the official one and making a fortune. But one glance at it was enough to show the most parsimonious visitor that they'd be better off without it. And besides, the Durham porters took a dim view of the enterprise and chased them away. On the beach, the alethiometer suddenly inert in Lyra's hands, as if it had abandoned her. Lyra hanging about the Castle Mill boatyard. Each Egyptian family had their particular patterns for decorating their boats, based on simple floral designs but becoming more and more complex and fanciful. Lyra watching old Piet van Poppel touching up his boat one day and laboriously copying the rose and lily pattern he was using, and then back in her room trying to paint it on her second-best dress before realizing that it would be better embroidered. And very soon after, having pricked her fingers countless times and snapped the threads and lost all patience with the task, throwing it away in disgust, and having to explain its absence to Mrs. Lonsdale. A demon is not an animal, of course. A demon is a person. A real cat, face to face with a demon in cat form, would not be puzzled for a moment. She would see a human being.